Welcome to Dad Life with Foz. My name's Luke Forrest, aka Foz. Alongside my beautiful partner Emily, I'm about to become a new dad, and I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So instead of doing the research privately, I thought I'd invite some of my mates along who've done this all before. And hopefully, along the way, I'm going to work out what the hell I'm doing when this baby is born. But before I work out what the hell I'm going to do when I become a father, just a quick shout out to Royal Stacks in Moorabbin, where we're filming this podcast. It's a beautiful little podcast booth in the corner of their restaurant. Come down, have a burger, have a beer. Amazing place. So a quick shout out to them. Now to introduce our first guest. He is a New Zealand cricket supporter. He is a coffee connoisseur. He's a wine bar owner. He's an avid road cyclist. He loves, and he's still wearing the Lance Armstrong Live Strong wristband from 10 years ago. He is the Melbourne Football Club captain. And more importantly, 5 weeks ago, he became a dad. Maxi Gawn, everybody.
What an intro. It never usually starts with Black Cap fan, but
yeah,
I don't mind it. Football wasn't even mentioned, which was great.
Yeah, well, we did speak. I think you might be over footy talk for a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm never over winning flags.
No. So
that can stay on. So if you want to introduce premiership captain, that sort of stuff can stay. If we want to get into the 5-goal prelim.
I know you've probably been asked this a million times, but little George was born only a couple of weeks after you won the flag.
So yeah, he was the 27th, and I'm pretty sure the flag was the 27th. So maybe a month.
Yeah.
I reckon Jess was around 37 weeks, maybe 36, and I was playing it up as if she was 40.
Yeah.
But we had plenty of time. There's like, to be fair, people do come at 36, 35 weeks every now and then.
Yeah.
But the percentages were in our favour to be a couple of weeks after. And to be fair, she went all the way right on the day of 40 weeks.
Beautiful. And hypothetical, because you've obviously experienced them both. If George was being born on grand final day, what would you take? An AFL flag or seeing your son get born?
It's a great question. I mean, in the day and age of Zoom, I mean, I feel like it would have been hard for me to Zoom into the granny, wouldn't it? So I think I'm pretty sure that answer. No, look, me and Jess have different answers, obviously, because she didn't plant a flag, but she only watched it from home in isolation by herself in Melbourne. So she's got a pretty grim view on the
flag. There you go.
Every answer I have that is equals flag.
Like, yeah. It's flag.
Well, I had, I started footy when I was 9. So what's that? 9 to 30, 21 years of trying to win a flag.
Yeah. And you can always have another kid.
Compared to, I think me and Jess came up with the kid 24 months ago.
Yeah.
You know, let's have a kid.
Well, that's actually my first question, to be honest. Early days, because as a boy, I never thought about when I was going to have kids or even if I was going to have kids. So when did you and Jess obviously start deciding that, yep, this is, and was it easy? Because we obviously did the IVF journey, but wasn't it easy for Jess to get pregnant? There's a lot of people ask this.
Yeah, I certainly wasn't dreaming of being a dad when I was young.
Yeah.
I did have
the opportunities.
Some ideas that I, there might be one in Bali. I'm not sure. we decided, Jess always said this thing that I wanted kids more than her.
Really?
And she always said this thing, you're not ready for kids. I'm not going to start proving that I'm ready for kids. Like, I'm not going to wake up at 2 a.m. when I don't have a kid.
Set four alarms.
For no reason at all.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop going out with my friends to show that I'm ready to be a dad.
Yeah.
So that whole narrative that you will go through at some point, you got to be ready, like this kid's coming out. Well, the kid comes out and then you stop doing those things. So I'm going to keep going out till literally, in fact, 39 and a half weeks, I was absolutely blind.
Well, that's what Em said, make the most of it because it's going to change.
About 2 days before Jess gave birth, I was blind. She was driving me around and I would not have been allowed in the hospital. There's really? No way. There's no, like, that's the worst I've been. I'd saved it for 2 days before the day. Footballers grow up really quickly, especially when you're around older people at football clubs and people have kids. Like Jake Lever had his 2 kids, he's 25. Nathan Jones had, he's got 4 kids now, but his first 2 were when he was 25. Like, people get married at 25. Things happen earlier in football, and I'm actually quite late doing it at 30. So from about 25 on, I always pictured potentially having a kid.
And did it happen easy for you? Was it pretty easy? Or did you?
So the first month of, we call it, I don't really call it trying because I wasn't necessarily.
Not trying.
I wasn't necessarily not trying. Yeah. But the first month of trying, Jess sort of screwed up her dates of these apps that they have.
Yeah.
So they've all got their apps and know when they're ovulating and whatnot and what day is the right day and what time's the right time. And she screwed it up the first month. And then the second month when she got that right, that was the month.
Beautiful.
So it was almost like a one-hit type approach.
There you go. And I mean, I'm at the stage now, 15 weeks, I'm starting to talk birthing classes.
Yep.
And if we should do it.
I didn't do one.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. And Jess was bored in them. She did a couple of Zoom ones. I don't think they've necessarily helped her to what she is doing now. Like little things she'll say, he twitches his leg a little bit at the moment. She goes, oh, that's supposed to stop in about 7 weeks. Like that's like important. Like that's cool to know, but is it that important? Like all you really have to know is, well, nothing. You don't have to know anything.
No. Oh, that's it.
You have to know how to swaddle a baby, but
yeah, like I don't even know what swaddling is.
You get taught that at the hospital that night, and you get taught the diaper that night at the hospital. Really? All the nurses, you just got to take a notepad and pen the first 3 days and get everything you can out.
All right, I'll take that back to Em because Em's the researcher. I'm assuming Jess is a researcher.
Jess, so to be fair, I lucked out with my wife and now mother of my son. She is very super prepared. Yeah. So lots of things that I wouldn't have even thought of getting, we had. I'm like, oh, we got that. She goes, yeah. And then, can you get this? I'm like, oh, we got that. She goes, yeah. So we had it all. She got that sorted. And I didn't really have to do – actually, I sooked up when we had to go to Baby Bunting to pick the pram.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the one thing I did, and I think I made a big song and dance.
Yeah. Well, I actually did that the other day because then went to look for prams, and I said, you decide.
Yeah.
I'm not really that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what's the hardest part about Jess being pregnant? You reckon? Or was there any hard parts? Or was it all pretty?
She was sick early.
Yeah.
So the first trimester, you're probably learning these terms.
Yep.
They're split into three trimesters, obviously.
Yep.
The word try. the first one is where they're quite sick. So you might.
She's nauseous, yeah.
You might be getting through that.
Not throwing up, just nauseous.
Yeah. So Jess actually had a bit of morning sickness. So that's a little bit tough to deal with, but. Then, like, third and fourth week, it's just purely there over it. Second and third trimester, they are sort of over it. But to be honest, I mean, I'm looking at this through rose-coloured glasses because we had a pretty good pregnancy and we had a very good Labor Day was hard. So birthday was hard. She had a bad labour.
We'll touch on that later.
Into emergency Caesar. And then our kid's been really good. So pre and post, I've got nothing bad to say about it at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually going through an interesting experience at the moment where Em's sex drive's gone through the roof.
Okay.
Through the roof.
Yep.
Like to the point I can't keep up.
Yep.
Almost had to tap out WWE style.
Yep.
Did that happen with Jess or did it?
Well, I have a minimal sex drive to start things off. So, look. The moment, and most dads/people trying will know this, the ovulating period is quite a difficult period to get through. It's 4 or 5 days and
labor intensive, isn't it?
It's labor intensive. So I've actually been on a 10-month rest from that personally. The Caesar's a blessing in disguise because now we've got to wait another 8 weeks on the other end.
Yeah.
But no, we're coming to that period now.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Look forward to it.
Yes.
Well, because I got told to download an app. It's actually called Who's Your Daddy, which sounds a little erotic. Yes. But it's an app that basically tells you what you should be doing for your partner. So the other day it said, like, it gives me a daily tip and it's like pregnancy sex is good sex.
You're a long way ahead of me here.
Oh, yeah.
There's no app.
Well, yesterday it was clear the road to the toilet because she's going to have to start going to the toilet a lot more.
That's quite funny.
Well, there's an issue if it's not clear anyway. Shouldn't it be clear to the toilet?
That's quite funny because Jess is the furthest away part of the bed from the toilet.
Yeah.
So she has to walk around and we have a dog and I also have a lot of mess. So it's quite funny in the middle of the night because she would have been going sort of 2-3 times a night.
Yeah.
So she's actually been preparing to be a mother because she's now up 2-3 times a night feeding the baby. But We'll get to what's been happening the last few weeks.
But what would your advice to me be for, say, the next 5 months? What should I be doing for M? That
you should lap up having a driver.
Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. That's very pro. And they're happy to, like, because they still want to come out. So they'll come out with you and then they'll drive you home. Like, use that window up and don't stay till 4 a.m. Like, go home at 11 when she wanted to go home because she's sober. Like, that's... And then you're in the good books the next day and you've also brought her to the event you were going to. It's a win-win. It's great. Really lap up the fact that she's driving. Because, and to be fair, they drive a little bit post as well because of breast milk anyway. So you got a long way to go there with a driver. Any other advice? That's a very self-centered advice.
I like it.
Put all the self-centered stuff behind. You got to make sure it's a nice environment.
And comfortable.
A comfortable environment. All about environment. You're an environment check.
Thank you.
You're watching the environment.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The environment.
Yeah, making sure that the house is in good nick. Your chores are done when they need to be done. Just making sure there's no added stress into the environment. Because added stress, one, will make... Obviously, your partner stress, and then would therefore make you stressed.
Because their hormones are running rampant as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let's fast forward a little bit to the day of the birth, obviously. Yeah. How was it? Was there things that happened that day that you weren't expecting? And how did it all play out? Because I remember I did a podcast with Bernie Vince, and he was chatting about the time they left the house, and they just thought, this is the last time it's going to be you two leaving the house. So what was your experience as far as the day of the birth?
So we had an induced.
Okay.
Which means you can pick your day, sort of. We picked our day. It was right on 40 weeks. But there's the way in movies that you see where people actually wait for their water to break and then you drive them to the hospital. That's another way of doing it. But we thought we'll just get induced on this day. We like this day. So you walk in at 8 a.m. to the hospital. Driving underneath, all quite nervous. Then you sort of sit in the waiting room with five other people that are getting induced. Oof. And that is an interesting area for a dad.
Yeah,
because there's five other dads there, and one of them made a joke, which is like, I forget what he said. He said like a real bad dad joke.
I thought,
like,
it would have been you that would have made the joke.
He first came in and goes, "Geez, this one induces." First one we ran in. Second one, you guys were all sitting there having a cup of tea. And we all sort of look at him and a few nervous laughs. And then there was some real extroverts in that waiting room. And then we got brought into our own little area. And that was good. But then that was, 8 a.m. induced.
Yep.
And therefore, most people, if you were a betting man, you'd say maybe around 3 to 5 p.m. If you're a betting man. Sometimes it can come early in that little bit. Sometimes it can go a long way later. So I knew... percentages were in my favor, the 3 to 5. All right, well, I'll sit back.
Yeah.
And she was in no pain till about midday.
Okay.
So it was 4 hours of her just sitting in the bed and me sitting on the other side of the room. It was a massive room, and I just got on my laptop, did some work.
Yep.
I don't think the nurses really appreciated me just sitting on my laptop over in the corner, but...
I'd have made it fell asleep.
Sleep would have been handy. I thought I could just go and get a coffee and whatnot, but then Jess thought... What if the baby came out and said, well, percentages. You're just going to play in the percentages, 3 to 5.
Did she take that well?
Yeah, she was actually really, really good. And then she, like a lot of females do, and nothing against it. It's a great decision at the time, but it's planning not to get the epidural is like me saying, I've broken my leg and I want to do the surgery awake, please.
Yeah.
I'll stay awake and don't even give me the drugs. I'll just watch you fix my broken leg.
It's something a lot of girls really want to do, though.
It's a bizarre feeling. You got an option to not feel anything, or you have an option to feel absolute 10 out of 10 pain.
Crazy.
And they all go, I want to feel the 10 out of 10 pain. So, and then the thing is, when they hit that 10 out of 10 pain and they want the epidural, then it takes an hour for the epidural to all happen. So you're in that pain for an hour. So that happened at about 2:33. She'd started getting real at about 1, and then she held on. She held on for a long time before this epidural. And I'm sitting there going, there's an easy fix here. There's an easy way out. We get the epidural. But we waited till like 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then like shit started again real. And then the anaesthetist came in, who is the emergency anaesthetist, who I feel sorry for him because he would end up, 99% of his patients would get the epidural, but 98% of them would want it to wait. So he's probably coming in the highest stress environments every single time to give the anaesthetic, to give the needle. And he was a Melbourne supporter.
So well, that's handy.
So we talked footy for the first sort of 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's another 10, 15 minutes.
Just when you want to be talking footy.
That's another 10, 15 minute pain that Jess was in because he wasn't getting to work.
No.
So then the epidural went in and then all of a sudden the contractions, and I thought I was a genius. I thought I was a doctor at this time because there's a number, and I don't know what the number correlates to, but on the heart rate and blood pressure, there's also another number, and that rised every time Jess seems to have a contraction.
Yeah.
So I'd be sitting there and the number would be at about zero, and it's about zero to 100. 100's heavy contraction, zero, and it's sitting around 0, 10, and I see it rising 10, 15. I'm like, oh, here we go, Jess. Here comes another one. I don't know what that fucking number is. I'm like holding a hand, go, here comes another one, here comes another one. I just made up that number correlates to a contraction, and it did.
Oh, beautiful.
So you'll see that number. And,
I'll start doing that as well.
There's a number that goes up. Anything triple figure, she's going through a fair bit.
Okay.
And then once the epidural came, that sort of stopped a bit of the pain, but our baby, as we'll get into the emergency C-section, was sort of at the wrong side, so her hip was in a fair bit of pain.
Yeah, because you actually said to me when we asked you about it out there, was she just had a little cesarean.
Yeah, well, yeah, so I thought a cesarean is this big complex operation, but it's actually not. So at about 5, the obstetrician came in. It's quite funny.
Yep.
So you catch up with this obstetrician, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, 20 weeks, 30 weeks, or 30, and then every week before from 36. So you've seen him a fair bit.
Is it true you kept calling him a podiatrist?
I didn't know. Well, I know. I still don't. Am I saying it right? Obstetrician?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think it's an ist. I think it's like an obstetrician. I don't think they get called an obstetricianist. They're an obstetrician. And he, I just thought this guy, we're going to see him the whole day of the birth. We didn't see him till 5 p.m. And it was literally after the first few pushes. So it's all midwives. Midwives could deliver the whole baby if they wanted to, but the obstetrician comes in for the money moment, like the last push.
Our obstetrician actually rides a scooter.
That worries me.
Which is a concern, because if it's wet, like he goes, I'll just rock up on the scooter. Yeah. I'm like, there's some issue, logistical issues here.
And they also take time off. So like if you hear an obstetrician, they go, I went away, like we were talking to him throughout the thing, he goes, I went away for a week. I'm like, but don't you have clients? And he goes, yeah, so you've rostered your time self on and off. If you're person you've been seeing this whole time is unlucky enough to have the kid while you're off, you just get a new obstetrician on the day.
Jesus.
But he was there. He's a Melbourne supporter as well.
Beautiful. So jeez, really?
Yeah, it's a bit demographic. Surgeons, obstetrician, anaesthetists, they tend to be Melbourne supporters. So he came in about 5 o'clock, just pushed twice. Heart rate was going down on the pushes, but then when she relaxed, the heart rate was okay. So it meant that we couldn't push, which means Caesar. But it wasn't an emergency Caesar because when we weren't pushing, the heart rate was fine. So it wasn't like in movies or when you're getting prepped for. An emergency Caesar is like everyone get your scrubs on as quickly as you can.
Yep.
Push like anyone else that's in the hospital to the side. We're getting in. We got to deliver this baby. It was like, here's your scrubs. Go have a, do you want to get a coffee?
Yeah.
Like there's a bit of time. There's someone else in there at the moment. We'll wait for them and whatnot. So I get the scrubs on and we go down and it goes from a team of 2 midwives that were controlling us to end the obstetrician who came in for that last push to a team of 25.
Were they all Melbourne supporters?
No. The nurses were a bit, who knows? The people with the higher up job, the obstetrician and anaesthetist, they were all Melbourne. So we get to, there's like 30 people in this room. And I wasn't allowed in the room. So if you do get to emergencies, which I hope you don't, I hope you do get to push. I don't see the pros and cons to both. The cons is the 6 weeks for M afterwards, which Jess is just getting to today. So the pros, like if you plan to Caesar at the start, you're in and out of the hospital in half an hour. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So there's 30 people in there, and I'm not in there to start. So I'm sitting out in the waiting room by myself while there's 30 people in there with Jess. And I didn't know. This is one thing I didn't read. I thought, so are they delivering the baby while I'm out here, or why am I even?
See, that's an odd. You know,
if I'm
why am I here?
In? But then they opened the door and let me in. So I think they just needed me out of the room to set everything up, and then I was there for everything. So the stomach was open. There's a big blue banner, but I'm quite tall, so I could, like the big blue banner goes to my chin. So
yeah. So you were.
If I chose not to look, I could get under and reach to Jess. But I could see a lot. And the nurse was quite funny. The nurse said, give us your phone so I can capture it. and I gave her my phone, but she took like live photos, so you can watch it. Like, I can show you right now.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm right.
So you can watch the baby come out of Jess's stomach, and it's, yeah, then obviously everything you sort of know. I can tell you one now that's a myth buster.
Yeah.
The cutting of the cord.
Myth buster.
You cut the cord, but I'm 10 meters away from Jess when I cut it. So they've obviously cut it. And they've brought me over for this novelty little 10-centimeter cut that's already been cut. It's like, so let's say the cord's 3 meters long.
Yeah, yeah.
They've cut it and then brought the baby and a meter long of the cord over here and just let me cut a cord. It wasn't really a moment at all.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So there's a photo of me doing cutting the cord with Jess nowhere, not even attached. So that's a myth.
That's a myth.
And then. If you do go down the path that we down with Caesar, Jess was then out of action for 24 hours, but the first hour she was really out of action.
Yep.
So I've got the baby, just me, in a room with no nurses for about 40 minutes.
Jeez.
And just sitting there. Just like,
good bonding.
Well, I've got my phone now because I wanted to tell our family. And I text Mum a photo of me and George, and I couldn't text Jess's parents because in my head I'm like, I can't say with confidence that Jess is doing well because I actually haven't seen her.
That's amazing.
Last time I saw her, she's actually on her deathbed. So I can't just send Jess's parents a photo of me and George. So there was a bit of like, there was an hour there where my parents knew and Jess didn't. But then I finally texted Jess's parents and said, George Oliver, Jess is doing okay. We'll call you later on when Jess is well. 5 hours later, I called her. So I just left them in for a 5 hour nervous little period of hoping their daughter's okay.
Great name, George, by the way.
George Oliver, yes.
Great name.
It was always, so this is another tip.
Yep.
This is from Chris Dawes.
Should we be taking tips off him?
Yes, he gave me a tip for the grand final as well, and his tip for the grand final was surround yourself with good players so shit players like me get medals.
Yeah.
And I looked around, I saw Petrarca, Oliver, I'm like, I've done his tip.
You've done the right thing.
His tip was the first name you pick, Is the name.
Is the right name. Well, that's because we've picked our name already and it's and the
you're,
first name.
You're going to bounce around a lot.
Yeah.
You're going to bounce around. We had George to start and then we went places. We went.
You didn't go.
We went in the Archie Archers, which is a lot of Archie and Archers floating around. They were floated around for a long time.
You didn't go real left wing to like an apple or an orange or something?
No,
like
they were always someone else. So there was this clear rule. No one I knew, but it had to be a name, if that made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got you.
So, Jess really wanted the name Rosie, but I knew a Rosie and I didn't. I didn't mind her, but straight away I'm thinking that name was associated to that person and I don't want my daughter. So, George, the only thing that tested me with George was I'm a big Survivor fan and there was a George on Survivor who was very condescending. Like, to be fair, he was a bit of a fuckwit. And that was during the 30-week pregnant type stage. Yeah. I'm like, Jess, we might have to get out of Georgia. Like, this guy's a genuine A-class fucking
Fruit Loop.
And then, that's the only – and then Paddy Dangerfield's got a George. They're literally the only two Georges I know, I think.
Great name.
And I don't know Paddy Dangerfield's son who's 4 years old. Let's clear that out.
Because Em's been talking about what she wants to do while she's in labour because I don't know if Jess had anything she to put her – put her mind at ease. And I asked them and she goes, I want to be on sports betting.
Well, then,
I'm like, great.
See if you can get a Saturday.
If it's a good three. Yeah. Flemington.
See if you can get a Saturday. That'd be ideal. I thought that. So I remember going in to see some other people 2 years before that had a baby. It was actually my brother-in-law, James Frawley. I went in seen their baby and James was sitting there punting. It was obviously 2 days after, but I was still in hospital. I'm like, geez, wouldn't that be good if I managed to nail... Because we're in and around Derby Day and stuff as well. Yeah. Like, imagine if I nailed one of the racing days and I could just sit there and punt away. But I think we're either a Wednesday or a Thursday. So I lost my money at Sale or somewhere on the Meadows Dogs. But it was an amazing experience. And then what you really need to be prepared for. So the labour, Jess had like stuff organised, but in the end, she just chilled. She just chilled and it just happened. She just went with the flow. We had music and then she said, fuck the music off. And then I stood up and helped. And then she said, fuck off. So I stood down and didn't help. Then I was needed again. Then apparently the most important man role. So the nurses are actually quite nice to you because they know you feel like a sack of shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs going, what can I do?
What am I doing?
I can't actually do anything. And the nurses know that, so they actually try and include you. So she gave me a face washer, a cold face washer, and said, if she gets hot, put this on her head. I'm like, Jesus, what a role.
If that's all you did during the whole thing.
But she did that, but then two pushers were in the obstetrician, so I didn't – my labour experience is 5 minutes of sitting there for pushers.
Yep.
And then we'll – scrubs.
Yeah, so everyone has different experiences, I suppose. But now you've had George at home for what, 5 weeks?
Yep.
5 weeks. How – you were you expecting exactly what's happened over the last 5 weeks, or are there things that you have sort of been thrown at you? Like, is George easier to look after than what's he on a footy trip?
you're slightly skipping past the first 12 hours post-birth is big, big
mental. Okay.
That's girl – mum extremely tired, and cesarean point of view, mum was drugged out, like can't keep her eyes open. So that I literally was everything. So I was hands on up till 4 a.m. that night, doing a lot of things for the baby, making sure the baby's, because they left us to yourself. You think like they take the baby away and they're in those nurseries that you see in movies, but no, the baby's in our room, and the nurses only come on call. So you're sort of like watching it yourself. I'm like, is he sleeping properly? Jess is dead. Is George still okay? Like, so that's a big, you got to prepare yourself for that first 24 hours, because that's a
full big on.
But since then, I reckon I've set a Guinness World Record for amount of hours slept for a newborn dad.
Really?
Yeah.
So George is sleeping.
No, I sleep
right through. You sleep right through.
It's got nothing to do with George and Jess. They're up all night. I sleep right through, including in the hospital on night two. Jess said there was a little emergency with her bladder. I'm sure she loves me going into this. And there was 6 to 7 nurses at 3 a.m. and they even called the obstetrician in. So, like, there was a lot of it. And I was just asleep.
Really?
Didn't wake up once. And since then, I haven't woken up. Jess woke me up at 4 this morning because she was struggling a little bit and George was crying. And I sort of kicked up a bit of a fuss. I'm like, I've had 5 weeks of perfect sleep. What are you doing, George? And I woke up. Gave him a little bit of man love, and all of a sudden,
are you trying to work out where you fit in at the moment? Is that a?
I know exactly where I fit in.
Yeah.
One out, one back.
The bottom of the food chain. Now.
Yeah. It used to go me, my dog Charlie, then Jess. That was like the food chain of our house. Yep. Now it's Charlie's somehow got himself to one. Yeah. I don't know how that. George 2, Jess 3, and I've got myself to the bottom.
Now Jess said to me that you were panicking over how many nappies you were going to have to buy.
I'm not a great picker-upper of dog poo. Sorry, I do it, but I don't love doing it. I'm not sure how many people who do love doing it. In fact, I have seen people that go pick around other dogs.
It's pretty demeaning. Like if if aliens were looking down and we were picking up dog shit, they'd think the dogs run the world.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of poo and spew and stuff in general. I'm not sure how many, once again, how many people are, but... So I was a bit worried about the whole nappy thing and cleaning up and whatnot, and that got me worked up. And the other big thing I was real worked up about is the day we first got home. So no nurses on call, no nothing, and it's just on us. But that was – I built myself up for something that actually wasn't that bad. It was actually beautiful.
Nice. Now, have you had mates like obviously Tommy Mack and Jake Lever that you've met?
Let's be clear with the word mates.
People in your life.
Teammates. Teammates.
Like that you can bounce advice off?
So Jake Lever, I did what you're doing here. He was my one that I asked a lot of advice for. He said that throughout the 12-hour labour, you got to just manage to get one big public joke in.
Yep.
So when there's nurses and whatnot around, just see if you can get one joke out. I couldn't.
Yeah.
So I was getting myself ready for some sort of joke at some point. I was hoping it would come to me, but it didn't. So that's a test. You got to get one joke out and M's got to laugh.
Yeah. There's another issue, trying to get them to laugh.
Apart from that, I feel like I've got a wife and a mother that is incredibly schooled up in this area. Like, she took the birth class.
Yep.
She read the books, and she dominates.
So you can't really argue many points with her because she knows.
I'm also a great learner as I go. Like, I change one nappy, and I don't have to learn how to do a nappy ever again.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder why a man comes to a birth class, because – They get told how to hold the baby, how to bath the baby, how to swaddle the baby, how to change a diaper. The nurse told me that night one. I did it night one, and then I know how to do it. Like, I didn't need to do that in the build-up.
Is a swaddle when you wrap them up like a souvlaki?
Yeah, that's quite – the swaddle's a bit of a myth as well.
Is
because once you leave Swaddle, once you leave the hospital, there's these new sleeping things. You can just zip them up and their arms are up in the air, and that's what so we haven't swaddled since the hospital.
Beautiful. So swaddling's a little bit too much extra.
But they get real cold, so they need to be in a blanket or something or swaddled, and you got to try and keep their hands off their face and whatnot. So that's the idea of swaddling.
Is there anyone at the D's that you wouldn't let look after George?
Plenty, but I also now know there's this thing in so I'll show you George,
yeah,
and you'll go, that's cute. Like, I brought him in today. You both will go, oh, he's cute. But you both really wouldn't want to hold him. You both look at him from afar. Like, until, and I was like that to every other kid. Like, I remember Tom McDonald's wife, Ruby, like a week before I had our baby. I didn't have it. Jess had it. Said, oh,
you helped.
Yeah. Do you want to give Leo their son? Do you want to give Leo a bottle? I said, fuck no, I don't. What am I going to get out of that? I'm about to give my son a bottle for 2 years, and I'm not that interested in your son. Like, I get he's cute. Like, look at him, he's cute. But then you have your kid, and you're obsessed with him.
Yep.
So you understand the parents thing. Like, I wasn't obsessed with babies. I'd look at babies and go, like, cool, that's a cute baby. But you look at yours, you go, fuck, that's a cute baby, and you want to do everything for it. You're happy changing your own, like, baby's nappy, but you don't want to be anywhere near a dirty nappy of another baby. Similar to your dog. You wouldn't want to pick up after another dog, but I happily pick up after Charlie.
Yeah, there you go.
So the answer to your question, Clayton can go nowhere. I wouldn't even let him near Jonesy's oldest, who's 10. So Clayton's not allowed near the 18-year-old draftees.
Is he?
So Clayton's probably the one I'd steer clear.
And your one advice to new fathers, like brand new fathers, when they have their kid, first month, obviously, because you're a new dad.
It's similar to how I'd like serious approach.
Do what you can.
It's similar to how I go through my whole life, my whole football career, being a captain, being a dad. You do you. Mm-hmm. Like, you do you. Don't listen to any sort of stereotype or any sort of conformness. Obviously, listen to your wife.
Yeah.
Because you're a team. But bring the baby up the way you want to bring the baby up.
Yeah.
Like, there's all sorts of books and all sorts of people will give you advice, but we've just done things the way it flows.
Now, I've got a little game for you, Maxie. Yeah. This is from Farah on our socials. I didn't actually ask for things we needed as a new father, but she's actually sent me a fucking 27-page Excel spreadsheet.
Beautiful.
On things we need. I'm going to give you 5 things. You need to tell me what they are. Okay. Do you reckon you can do it?
Sure.
You ready for this? No fee sprayer and sucker.
No fee sprayer and sucker. Is it something that you would clean maybe your nose with?
Good. So it's a thing that you spray up the baby's nose and also sucks the snot out of the baby's nose.
I had
nose.
A feeling that the word sucker, I've heard that somewhere in baby world about boogers. It's actually, they go, it's handy just to get a sucker. And then I just thought maybe that could have been it.
Do you have a sucker?
No, what? It's a one from one. That's all we move to the next one. I'm one from one.
Okay, one from one. Okay. A bumbo and tray.
I would have to be something to do with a changing table.
No. It's actually like a silicone seat that you can take out when you're out and just put on the ground and the baby can sit and eat off it.
Okay.
And it's got a tray on it.
There you go.
So there you go. Booby biscuits.
That would be something to protect the nipple, like a bit of foam.
I found this out on social media. It's actually a biscuit that the girls eat and it's got all the ingredients in it that makes them lactate easier.
Okay.
There you go.
What do you reckon the nipple care is called? Poopy biscuit's not a bad name, is it?
Well, breast pads.
Yeah, it's breast pads. That's probably a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are?
Yeah. So Jess actually took a lot of breast pads and all sorts of different things and didn't use one of them. Yeah. So the need of stuff in hospital isn't like you overpack. Yeah, overpack's good though because you might need it.
And last but not least, Mugu.
Spelt?
M-O-O-G-O-O.
It is. Is a Mugu a rocking bed?
It's cream that you put on your kids for eczema and other skin psoriasis things.
Okay, so it's not a rocking bed?
It's not a rocking bed. But that's a money-making idea.
Yeah. Well, no, there is a rocking bed. And it sounds like that. I don't reckon I'm far off. Eczema cream would also help put someone to bed.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so if they're struggling with eczema.
Now, a couple of questions from socials for you. This is from Mark underscore Thompson, 213 Bomber. Sending it through. Well, you've sort of already answered this, but who's responsible for attending the bub during the night?
Yeah, so in the end, as much as I want to be helpful with every chance I can be, she's the only one who can do something when the baby is upset at night. If the baby is upset at night, it's because they want to be fed.
Yes. Could she express?
Well, our baby luckily has a good latch and enjoys breast milk and likes to be fed from the tit.
Yep.
That's common terminology. I know you're laughing, but I laughed when I was in your time. Oh, he said tit. But you get used to it. You can say tit just like off. Dads just look at you like, he's talking about a feeding apparatus. That's all he's talking about. Where you're saying he's talking about his wife's tits. So he latches really well. We've started to express and he takes a bottle really well. So soon at night, there's going to be a time in the next week or so where I can do it.
Okay. Are you going to enjoy that?
Well, training starts on Monday, and I'm going to use that as a bit of an excuse. I reckon I can wake up. So at the moment, they change so quickly to a point where in about a week or two, I think he's going to sleep throughout the whole night.
Ooh, that's good.
Like that happens around 2-3 months, I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
So, but at the moment, he's got a feed at around 2 a.m. and then a feed at around 6 a.m. I can do 6 a.m. and let Jess sleep. That's happy. I can do that. That's beautiful. A good deal.
Now, this is from Shangla 21.
Yep.
What's the most useless baby thing that you've purchased?
Well, I mean, and you're a big boy, so this could be useless for you as well. We bought a lot, and I mean a lot, of 0 to 3 month baby gear. So it's called 000.
Yes.
He's a big boy. He used the smaller size nappies for 1 week.
How big was he when he was born?
He was 8 pound 5.
Holy moly.
Which isn't actually that big.
Oh, isn't it? Sounds big.
Yeah, I know. But, well, it is. It's bigger than average. But me and my two brothers were all over 10. So it's not like massively big, but now he's big. He's out of...
Just out of it.
He's out of all the stuff that you get as gifts. He's out of everything. Like, so we've got a lot of... Like, we have to have another kid to put use to all this stuff we have.
You'll have another kid, don't we?
Well, And I'd say sorry to anyone who is a single child out there, but it doesn't really make sense to me. You're both not single child.
I'm a single child.
That actually explains a fair bit. I feel like it makes sense to try and have a crack at two.
Yes. Yeah, it does. Everyone seems to say that.
And your parents might have had a crack at two when they made...
Well, she didn't even... My mum actually didn't even have a crack at me. I was an accident.
Okay, it sounds to make a lot of sense.
And what are probably the 5 most important things that you've bought for a baby? You reckon to be good?
Okay, so the things that you is worth spending.
Yeah.
I'll say that because these are extras that don't necessarily you need to have a surviving, living baby. The machine that makes you express milk.
Yep.
That is a fucking handy machine.
Yeah, beautiful.
But to be fair, you don't necessarily need it. Because you don't really need to have a bottle. You can breastfeed the whole way through. Yep. That's a beautiful machine. Well done to whoever come up with that. Yep, that's great. Second, we have, and we're in a lucky position we're able to afford it, we have a bed that does rock them to bed, rock them to sleep.
Nice.
So it sort of is this machine, and you can pick, it's called a Mamaroo, and you can pick 4 or 5 different options, and like one's like a kangaroo, so it hops up and down, one's a car, so it pretends it's a car, and it makes like a sound as well. And that puts him to sleep every single time.
Well, I actually had a money-making idea on that. Yeah. So I saw a girl.
It is already a thing.
No, it's already a thing. Yeah. I saw a girl with one of those. It rocks the baby. You sit the baby in it, it rocks it. And then I also saw an electric vacuum. You know those ones that do themselves during the day?
Yeah.
So I just thought, why kill 2 birds with 1 stone? Why wouldn't you put it on top of an electric vacuum? Your baby. So as it vacuums the house and rocks the baby to sleep, so you kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah, my one would be the changing of elements. So going in and out of different rooms, different lighting might wake the baby up.
Okay.
That's my one. And, it's a vacuum would be the other one. So I'm not going to join in with
that. Okay, sorry. Okay, next one.
The other one is that thing I just talked about instead of swaddling. It's like a little zip vest that has their arms up in the air.
So you always go zips over buttons as well.
It zips over buttons, although Jess is bigger on that than I am. I actually don't mind. I reckon buttons is okay, but zips is easier.
Yeah.
And a changing table that is high. And other people will say different because it's a bigger fall if they do fall. But my back's cooked.
Yeah.
So you need something a little bit higher.
You are taller than average, though.
Yeah, but you're tall.
Yeah, true.
I'm just saying something that hasn't got you bending over.
Yes.
Is handy to be able to do all the shit you need to do with the baby on the changing table.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Maxie. I'm going to finish on something that I made Jess send me.
Yep.
On why you are a great dad. So this is what she sent. He keeps the mood in the house fun, always makes me feel supported. He takes George in the morning while I rest, and he makes me coffee. He's jumped straight into being a dad with nappies, swaddling and bars, mostly because I can see how much he loves spending time with George and planning all the fun things they are going to do in the future.
Is that bath or bars?
Good question. Bar.
Then a lot of stuff she noted there was the environment.
Yeah.
So it is your role. Control the environment. If what I can do is I can keep Jess happy, making her think that I'm a good dad by making her a coffee in the morning,
yep.
I'll make her a fucking coffee
in the morning. Well, thank you, Gordy, and good luck for the footy season ahead as well, mate.
Thanks, Tim.
Cheers.